Went out of bed at 4 a.m. to get some yard work done. Sure a whole lot cooler when you're up before the sun. The mowing took a little longer than I thought it might. They found me face down on the ground, all dried and mummified. It's that dry heat.
Dry heat.
Turn jaw balls into raisins, cooks those blisters on your feet. Gotta be just like a lizard and crawl under a rock if you want to live in this dry heat.
That's Mason's Jackalope Radio. They never heard of them before. They just sent us that email with that audio clip. I think it was just yesterday. We listened to it and we thought, yeah, we'll play that. It's very timely for 118, 120 degree weekend coming up. But it's just a dry heat. Have a couple emails to cover with you, John. Elizabeth has a 25-foot sorrel cactus they call the grandfather. It's in a patio home, and it's pretty close to the home, and they're noticing some bird damage, so they're kind of wondering the structural integrity. Is it okay? Should they consider moving it? They love it, but obviously if it falls on the home, if it fell over in the near future, would be quite damage they don't want to incur.
Yeah, well, I'd have to kind of assess what kind of concerns they have to see if it's a risk to the house. You know, we did have a customer of ours who had a sorrel cactus inside a patio, and it did have bacterial necrosis, and the tree was declining. It had already dropped an arm into the patio, and they were concerned about the whole thing falling. So we took that down and took it out. And it was unfortunate to lose these big granddaddy cacti. They're just beautiful. And bacterial necrosis, their symptoms are they start to yellow out a little bit. You'll start to see some black necrotic material that will kind of ooze out of some of these lesions that form, sometimes around bird holes, sometimes in other areas where you see that yellowing of the cortex occur. So when that happens, you need to get to it right away. Sometimes you can treat those areas if it's isolated and clean them out and disinfect them, and then you can go on and the tree can live and survive. If the necrosis gets further into the vascular system of the tree and starts to travel down into the main trunk of the tree, it's really hard to stop it, and it's just a matter of time before the cactus is so weakened it'll start losing arms. So I without really seeing the tree, I'd have to be hard to say whether it's a risk or not. But if it's typical bird damage. Birds have lived in sorrel cacti for millennia, and they that's not an issue just because you have some birds who are pecking holes in the plant. If you start to see some black oozing anywhere around any of those wounds, that's time to go get somebody to take a look at it.
Carol's a longtime listener and writes in and wants to know what to do about a Joshua tree. It's beautiful. It's fully mature. But she wants it removed. And her neighbor said, well, I caution her that it might be illegal to remove Joshua trees. Is that one you have to get a permit for?
You know, I'm not real certain about that. You probably need to contact, one of your state officials, maybe the Department of Agriculture or your municipality, wherever you happen to live, and see if there are some restrictions on certain types of plants. I know you do need permits for taking out sorrel cacti, and even some trees. Some communities have stricter regulations, so you better check with the authorities where you live.
All right, last one, and this one's not necessarily a tree question, but I've seen your home. You have much more than just trees in your realm of expertise. You're on the Master Garden home tour earlier this year. Y'all do some gardening. This homeowner wants to do a raised bed and wants to know what material would you use for a raised bed?
Well, we used a combination of our own compost, and we did get some store-purchased planting medium, some nice potting soil. But we were fortunate enough to have a bunch of we have been composting for several years, and we have a stockpile of our own yard waste that we've converted and composted down over time. And that's really your best bet, to try to get, if you're in a raised bed, that's probably the best way to get good consistent production from your garden. Our native soil is really tough to garden in. There's no question about it. With a high clay content and low organic matter, it's tough to do. So,
what do you use for a containment vessel to keep your compost, you know, from spreading, to keep it confined?
Well, anything that has walls on it, and if those walls can breathe, all the better. I've used some chicken wire, some different types of cage material. We actually use horse troughs. We found a bunch of horse troughs on the side of the road that people were throwing away because the bottoms had rusted out. They make perfect compost bins. They've got
free drainage,
big galvanized sides, and mm-hmm. we just punched some more holes in the bottom with a pry bar, and now they drain out the bottom. So it allows us to just have a convenient little spot that's only a couple of feet deep. You want it, you know, below your waist height so you can work the material and use a pitchfork to turn it, and something to contain the water and keep it moist.
Thank you, Mr. Eisenhower. Our next question for Tim. What is best practice for lawnmower maintenance? Would I learn anything coming to your house? Are you like the cobbler whose kids have no shoes? Do you get home and like, the last thing I want is to worry about lawns. I've got a rock landscape.
Well, what you learned yesterday, take in your old mower, walk out with a different one. So.
I like to have a nice lawn, but I don't necessarily like to work on my mower. So I think a yearly program is in order. You know, yearly change the oil, air filter, spark plug. You know, like on yours, check the chains, maybe lubing some chains and stuff. But then the blade is something that needs to be done more often. So again, if you have an extra blade, you can swap out that blade every 3 months, maybe bring in the other blade for sharpening. If it's still sharp, we're going to say, hey, you know, you can extend your intervals, you know? So, and then our biggest problem is back to the old gas. So if you use, good gas, especially during the down season, use some canned fuel to prevent varnish buildup, then that yearly thing will work out fine. And some people can go longer because there's a lot of small yards, and mowers are actually getting better. You know?
And a well-maintained mower, how many years can I expect that to last?
Oh, easily 10, 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
With a good quality mower.
Yeah.
I've got one that I bought in 1988. It runs like a champ. Little Honda motor.
Yeah.
Oh, it just runs and runs and runs. I guess. Go ahead.
I would say, how often does Nancy have to mow?
There's only one time that she did that, but that's a different story when it ended up in the pool. So.
Well, joining us from afar right now, we have Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery, our general guest, who's taken this week off for, sounds like quite an interesting industry event.
Yeah, Romy, I'm a judge for an organization called America in Bloom. And America in Bloom is a judging contest and evaluation that cities of various sizes sign up for and are judged really for their total quality of life that they provide to their residents, most of which is based on, you know, their landscape, their floral use, their tree condition, and the way they use urban forestry. But they also take into consideration things like recycling and water quality and water recycling, water usage, and the attention that these communities pay to their history and their legacy and how they are working to preserve historical sites, historical buildings, and so forth. So cities are judged against other cities the same size, and usually there's four cities in each category, starting with small towns, which I'm in today, in Ohio, a little town called Logan, which is about 7,000 or 8,000 people, and they just do a marvelous job of landscaping and fixing up Main Street and encouraging their residents to beautify their landscapes.
So will you visit all four towns?
Some judges will. I just don't have that kind of time. This is my second stop in the last 10 days. I judged a town in California, a little bigger town in Southern California, Calabasas, and then came here to Ohio. So two different ends of the world, really, two completely different environments, but both equally as impressive.
What other towns are on the tour?
Well, there's another town in Ohio that just got judged by my partner, Evelyn Alemani, and she's a longtime experienced judge. This is my first year, so I'm really learning how to do this as I go, and she just came up from another town in Ohio. She's going on to Wisconsin from here, and then actually in Europe. There's a program in Europe that they do as well, so there's towns virtually from coast to coast. I know there was two cities in Florida, Fort Myers, I believe, and I know one in South Carolina, the one in Wisconsin. So quite a few cities and quite a few planted Calabasas in the south and a couple of towns up in Northern California. So it's really all over the map, and of course, even abroad.
Where will the results be posted?
Now, that's interesting. They have what they call the symposium, which is in October, and it moves around all over the country. This year, it's in San Luis Obispo, Arroyo Grande, a community right near San Luis Obispo, so kind of Northern California, North Central California. Last year, I believe it was in the Midwest, and it moves from place to place every year, different years. So they bring everybody in that entered. They all come. It's a 2 or 3 day event. They have different speakers and presentations, and then they have a big awards presentation that cities are awarded, you know, whether they're an overall winner or they win certain categories, depending on how well they did in each category. And so they're kind of a little bit suspenseful until then. So that's in October. That's a ways to go, right?
Well, very cool. How does an Arizona town get listed for judgment?
You know, all they have to do is get a hold of the folks at America in Bloom, and, you know, they send them an information packet. And, of course, they fill out. There's some work that has to be done. Once you do pay an entry fee based on the size of the group, and then you have to fill out a profile, and, you know, there's some different questions they ask, and they get a community profile from you first so they can kind of evaluate things. And there's a number of different things then that you have to do to enroll. And then once you're enrolled, they'll send a judging team to you. And you're judged on your floral displays, your landscaped areas, what we call urban forestry, your trees, how you use trees, how well they're taken care of, your environmental efforts like recycling, your heritage preservation, and, of course, the overall impression. And they judge the public areas and the private areas. And then the other thing that's kind of neat is that we gave three in Calabasas, and we'll give three residents that as we were driving around for the last 2 days, we've picked out three different residences that we think have done a particularly great job in landscaping and really sprucing up their landscape, and we'll give them an award, you know, just a recognition that they've done such a great job. It's hard to do because there's lots of them that look great.
Very cool. Is there anything else to wrap up?
You know, it's just kind of interesting to see what other cities and towns, you know, take pride in and do. We got to be here during their Washboard Music Festival. This is the last place in the United States that still makes washboards. And, of course, they have concerts going on, and, you know, they kind of use it as an excuse to have a big fair and festival, but it's all centered around the good old washboard, and, of course, they play you know, music on those doggone things, like, you know, the jugs and the washboards, like you saw at Andy Griffith, right? And so that's been kind of interesting to see that happen. It happened to go on at the same time as we were here. So
did you get a matching set of washboards for you and Trina to practice at night at home?
Yeah, I didn't buy a matching set, but I did buy one.
Nice.
I'll use a jug. How's that? She gets
Perfect.
The washboard, and I'll get the jug.
Thank you, Jay. We look forward to seeing you in studio here next week. For more information on this particular event, you can visit americainbloom.org.